Hello, Christ community. Hello. Are you ready to have some fun today? All right. Hope everyone have their Bible open to 2 Chronicles 20. Today we'll be covering verses 6 through 12. And so, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction. And you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession. God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Let us pray. Holy Father, we thank you so much for the grace you have showered upon us. And Lord, we just pray that you will just open our hearts and minds up to hear your word, and that you will just take me out of the way, Father, and speak through me, that your word will go forward, stirring up your children into action, that they may know you and serve you to the best of their abilities. So as we prepare, Lord, to share Christ with the congregation, we ask you to take the lead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We last talked about sticking to the script to know Jesus. By obeying scripture, Jehoshaphat knew Jehovah. So when Jehoshaphat needed help, he sought Yahweh. And who is Yahweh? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Exodus 3:14. Yahweh is whatever he wants to be. And Pastor Rob covered this in great detail in his Psalms 23:1 sermon. But for us, Yahweh is whatever we need him to be. So Jehoshaphat knew whatever he needed, Yahweh would provide it. So Jehoshaphat went to the Almighty God for answers. Well, what about Yeshua? I thought he was God. There's one God, the Yohe-Wohe. Yahweh saw that people could not help themselves. So God, Jehovah, decided to save people. And he did that in the presence of Yeshua, Jesus. God showed his great love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. So she, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Yeshua, which means Adonai saves. Matthew 1:21. So many prophecies said Jehovah would do this, come and save us. The Judeans began to expect him to show up at any time. So they call him the Mashiach. We call him the Messiah or Christ, the anointed one. Jesus said, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I say I am the Son of God? That's John 10:36. Jesus claims he is the Messiah that the Father anointed to save the world. He is the Son of Yahweh. That's Yahweh come in the flesh. Jesus is the Almighty God. The Father and I are one, John 10:30. He is not a make-believe figure. He is someone who is whatever we need, and we need to know Jesus. At salvation, we are filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit replaced Jesus here on earth. For if I don't go away, the comforting counselor will not come to you. However, if I do go, I will send him to you. John 16:7. In Hebrew, the Holy Spirit is the Ruach HaKodesh and means the breath of Yahweh. Jehovah breathed his breath into us to mark and claim us. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17. So, the Holy Spirit living in us is Yahweh. And that means that everything Yeshua has is in us. But you will receive the Spirit, the power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. Yahweh is the only God. There is one God, the Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is in all. Ephesians 4:6. He has revealed himself to us in three different ways. We call this a Trinity, one entity in the form of three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. 1 John 5:7. So Scripture clearly states there is one God. That God is Yeshua. And he is everything we need. And we need to know Jesus. Jehoshaphat began his prayer by praising Yahweh for taking care of his ancestors. Then Jehoshaphat addressed Yahweh's majesty by declaring him the God over heaven. Jehoshaphat remembered what Yahweh had done for him, and he remembered what he done for his people. So Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Matthew 6:9. So we also should begin our prayer by praising Jesus for what he has done. Remembering our past relationship with him builds on our future. And this is increasing our faith. We remember the things Christ done for us, so we desire to know him more. In the chaos going on around him, Jehoshaphat chooses to focus on the God he knew. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands, rather than the practices of Israel. The Lord established the kingdom under his control. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 17:3-6. Jehoshaphat made this personal. And it should be personal between us and Jesus too. We must experience life with Christ. Jehoshaphat declares who is in control of these attacking nations. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations, Psalms 22:28. He is praying scripture. Jehoshaphat's prayer reminds Judah who holds the real power. God has spoken once, twice, I have heard this. That power belongs to God, Psalm 62:11. He is stating Jehovah is sovereign. Our God is in heaven and does whatever he pleases, Psalms 115:3. So do you know Jesus this way? Do you know Jesus as sovereign? All power is given to me in heaven and earth, Matthew 28:18. And Paul says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Colossians 1:16. This is why Pastor Rob keeps reminding us to pray scripture back to Jesus to help us to know Jesus. So Jehoshaphat is remembering the good times with Yahweh. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Lamentations 3:21. Jehoshaphat is praising God for delivering the Israelites from slavery and bringing them to the promised land. Yahweh kept the promise he made to a friend. God told Abram, leave your country, your family, and your father's home for a land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Genesis 12:1-2. To establish the Hebrew nation, Yahweh removed nations that opposed him. Jehoshaphat was now king of this promised nation, and he is reminding Jehovah of his promise to Abraham. Yeshua is sovereign, and we should know him. Christ wants to be our friend. That is why Jesus told his disciples, I'm no longer calling you servants, but friend. Because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I named you friends because I let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. John 15:15. 3 years the disciples followed Jesus. When they were able to duplicate Jesus, he called them friend. It is essential that we imitate Yeshua. When we stick to the script, we duplicate Jesus. This shows Yeshua that we love and respect him. And if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. By living his way, we glorify Christ. So by doing things with Jesus, we learn to be Jesus' friend. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. 1 John 4:9. Jesus worked with people and became their friend. Doing life with Jesus is how we become his friend. You must experience life through Christ. Start your day with scripture. Ask Jesus to explain it to you. This builds a bond between you and Jesus. You appreciate his patience and love. You can share that with other people. You admire how Jesus patiently trains you so you can be patient with others. This Christian life is just copying Jesus. Peter says it this way, but have reverence for Christ in your hearts and honor him as Lord. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you. 1 Peter 3:15. Copy Jesus and tell people why you're copying him. So learning from Yeshua gives you experiences you share with others. By sharing Jesus with the world, you become his friend. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. James 2:23. By being Jesus' friend, you and him share experiences together. You gain a friend to lean on in good or bad times. The Lord is the one who will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Deuteronomy 31:8. This is how Jehoshaphat felt about Yahweh. If you want to be Jesus' friend, stick to the script. Living life with Christ must be based on things that he has actually done for you. Your relationship with Jesus is based on real world experiences, things you share together. You hang out together. You get to know Jesus. So let's talk about the land, the place we dwell. In the story, we're in Jerusalem and Judah. It was a gift from God. And so God gave the Israelites the entire land that he had solemnly vowed to give to their ancestors. Everything came out right, Joshua 21:43. Jehoshaphat was attacked for sharing the law in Judah. He went out among the people, traveling from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim, encouraging the people to return to the Lord, the God of their ancestors, 2 Chronicles 19:4. So these armies were trying to remove Jehoshaphat from the land that Yahweh told him to witness. The land is the part of us where the word can be planted and grown. We are talking about our souls. The soul can be nourished from the physical or spiritual side, but we can only do it from the physical side. So whatever you take to heart goes into your soul and will influence you. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And that is what defiles a person, Matthew 15:18. The info you take in is what you will get back. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Galatians 6:8. If you are watching bad TV, you will feed your soul wickedness. If you're putting in evil, you get back evil. A man reaps what he sows. Galatians 6:7. So if you are reading and studying the word, you will program your soul with righteousness. If you put scripture in, you get scripture out. By these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:4-8. The fruit of the Spirit grows in your life when you know Jesus. The land in the Old Testament represents the soul. Living in the land tells us to live from the soul. The Apostle Paul calls it walking in the Spirit. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. Scripture contains both physical and spiritual commands. When we plant the word in us, it starts to sprout and attach to our spirit. Here's a problem. Our spirit is dead. There is nothing to nourish the word. It cannot grow. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, Ephesians 2:1. If our spirit is dead, our soul cannot be fed from the Spirit. We cannot communicate with Christ. And at that time, you were without the Messiah, with no hope, and without God, Ephesians 2:12. Not to worry. We have already seen where Yeshua saved us. Then he sealed and filled us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit unites with our spirit and revives us. This makes us spiritually alive or born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit, John 3:6. The word is now able to grow. It's the smallest of the seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come from and make nests in its branches. Matthew 13:32. When these truths grow out, they affect our entire world. When the Holy Spirit uses the word to affect our world, that is walking in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. So if you say you're spiritual, it should show up in your life. Galatians 5:25. You are connecting with Christ. This is how we come to know Jesus. So Judah is praying outside the temple where the Holy Spirit dwelt. So when Solomon had finished praying, the glory of the Lord filled the temple, 2 Chronicles 7:1. But as we have shown earlier, we are the new temple. So then you Gentiles are not foreigners or strangers any longer. You are now citizens together with God's people and members of the family of God. You too are built upon the foundation laid by apostles and prophets, the cornerstone being Christ Jesus himself. He is the one who holds the whole building together and makes it grow into a sacred temple dedicated to the Lord. In union with him, you too are being built together with all the others into a place where God lives through the Spirit. Ephesians 2:19-22. So Jesus makes us a holy temple. When people look at us, they should see Christ. Our life should be a reflection of Jesus' love. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and be and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And as what life I now live in flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and have given himself for me. So as the word grows in us, Jesus becomes the center of our life, and we get to know Jesus. So we are 5 verses into Jehoshaphat's prayer, and he is still praying scripture. He is rephrasing what Solomon prayed when he built the temple. When there is famine, an epidemic, or the crops are destroyed, or when your people are attacked by their enemies, hear their prayer and forgive them. 2 Chronicles 6:28-30. Jehoshaphat is sticking to the script. Yahweh has already agreed to handle this issue. So Jehoshaphat is reminding Judah of this agreement. This is what Pastor Rob shows Christ's community to do every Wednesday night. Pray back scripture and trust in what the Lord has said. Praying back scripture helps you know Jesus. You learn Jesus' character. Then you're able to talk to him with scripture as a friend. If it's disturbing you, talk to the Lord about it. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to teach them that they should always pray and never become discouraged. That is why you have to be friends with Jesus. You need a relationship. You can freely share your heart. And you can only get that with Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and trust him. And thank him for all he has done. Philippians 4:6. Yeshua wants to be our friend. And we need to know Jesus. Christ wants to hear from us, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. 1 John 5:14-15. Praying scripture is Jesus' language. There's no problem with praying for anything as long as it agrees with scripture. So stick to the script and use scripture right. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. James 4:3. Our prayers should glorify Christ, not us. We stay in Jesus' will and ask for things that please Yahweh. Jehoshaphat's prayer includes many items. One thing he prayed about was repentance. When we do wrong, we can repent. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Jesus will quickly forgive and restore us. There is deliverance from any evil. Our prayer list can include many things, but whatever we pray about, we need to be honest. We are sinners, living among sinners. We try to do what's best for us. In a sinful world, that means hurting and being hurt by others. And the only way to avoid wronging others is to stick to the script. Jesus said, pray and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When we pray, be honest with yourselves and Jesus. The time is coming when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And that time is here already. You see, the Father too is actively seeking such people to worship him. John 4:23. Yahweh is looking for friends who will be open and honest with him. So we need to know Jesus. After lining himself up with scripture, Jehoshaphat tells Yahweh what's bothering him. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, 2 Chronicles 22. In this prayer, we learn the truth. Jehoshaphat was told that Ammon, Moab, and Aram was attacking. The rumors and misinformation have been corrected with facts. The truth is that it was Mount Seir and not Aram attacking. Who is Mount Seir? Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom, Genesis 32:3. Remember what happened between Esau and Jacob? From the time on, Esau hated Jacob because their father had given Jacob the blessing. And Esau began to scheme. I will soon be mourning my father's death. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Genesis 27:4-1. Edom is another name for Esau, an Israelite cousin. So this is just more family drama. Edom wants revenge. Mount Seir represents the highest form of pride. Instead of facing Aram, which it was the pride of life, Jehoshaphat is attacked by Mount Seir, our greatest arrogance. And this is the type of pride that will hurt us. Pride leads to destruction and arrogance to downfall, Proverbs 16:18. In his prayer, Jehoshaphat refutes his attacker's revisionist history. Yahweh delivered Israel from Egypt, but during their wandering, Israel was attacked by these same groups. They were the ones who followed Balaam's advice and enticed the Israelites to be unfaithful to the Lord in the Peor incident. So the plague struck the Lord's people, Numbers 31:16. Jehoshaphat sets the record straight, and he sticks to the script. Remember the example of the Holy Spirit reviving our spirit from the previous verses? When we are born again, only our spirit changes. At salvation, the word is not grown. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:1. We are still the same sinful creatures we were. We still follow the same customs, Ammonites, listen to the same people, the Moabites, and struggle with the same issues. Mount Seir, pride. Our relationship with Jesus starts with salvation. Salvation removes the penalty of sin. So we know the right thing to do, but we lack the knowledge and power to do it. Since we don't know anything different, we continue to sin. It is sanctification that changes us. Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. So until the word grows in us, we are not cleansed. It is knowing Jesus and sticking to the script that sanctifies us. So despite our sin, Yahweh chose to save us. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave all your sins, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Colossians 2:13-14. We have been given a new start, but our sins are not going away without a fight. Whenever we disobey or disregard scripture, sin shows up in force. And since we cannot remove these sins, they are now in a position to destroy us. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day. Finally, I confessed all my sin to you, and stopped trying to hide my guilt, and you forgave me. Psalms 32:3-5. So we have leveled up. We can see and confess our sins, and plus we no longer try to hide behind everyone else's sins. So I said, there is no hope for me. I am doomed because every word that passes my lips is sinful. And I live among people whose every word is sinful. And yet, my own eyes, I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty, Isaiah 6:5. So Isaiah realized everyone sins, and that is all we know how to do. But he stood in front of one who could change it. And we all continue to sin. And when we do sin, there is one who can do something about it. So we need to know Jesus. In Jehoshaphat's prayer, 6 out of 8 verses is praising or glorifying Yahweh. So Moses said, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders, Exodus 15:11. When Jehoshaphat asks for what he wants, it's a statement on Yahweh's mercy. So to rephrase him, these people who you would not allow us to punish is trying to steal what you have given us. Please do something about it. So Jehoshaphat's request is more about carrying out Yahweh's will, witnessing to the land. He is completely centered on Jehovah. And that is what praying scripture does for us. It lets us keep everything about Jesus. Obeying scripture has focused Jehoshaphat on Yahweh. His pity party was over, and he turns all his issues over to Jehovah. A lesson every Christian needs to learn. We need to stop whining about everything. We cannot play the victim. Even if it's true, and it is, yes, we all have been victimized by sin, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Every person is a victim of sin. Most people live according to their bad experiences, but as Christians, we need to live from the freedom Christ has given us. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery, Galatians 5:1. We must live Jesus' way. It is personal to Jehoshaphat. He chooses to seek Yahweh's way. The scripture should be personal to us. If we know Jesus, we should strive to live according to them. But thanks be to God, for though at one time you were slaves to sin, You have obeyed with all your heart the truths found in the teachings you received. Romans 6:17. Praying scripture helps us stay focused on Christ, the one who is above all gods and over everything. God has put Christ over all rulers, authorities, powers, and kings, not only in this world, but also in the next. Ephesians 1:21. In our world, Jesus reigns. In the spiritual worlds, heaven and hell, Jesus reigns. Jesus is Lord. We must seek Christ in everything we do. When we get this straight, everything else falls into place. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. It is time we transition from being in control to Christ controlling this new life he gave us. Or do you not know that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. We must live this life as if it is Jesus' life. We need to stick to the script and get to know Jesus. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Ephesians 6:12. We are caught up in a war that has been going on before man was made. We do not have any power of our own, but we can use the power of God the Father through the Holy Spirit. When we stick to the script, we line ourselves up with Christ and become stronger than any devil. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And whatever, Matthew 18:18. Knowing Jesus does that for us. Although we have Christ's authority on earth, we cannot do whatever we want. That is sin. And defeating sin is Yeshua's responsibility. And he's already done that. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. We must live Jesus' way to use Yahweh's power. If you sin, that's not Jesus' way. You cannot command Yahweh's power. But no, Christ can still deliver you from that sin. But you need to know Jesus. Jehoshaphat admits that he cannot defeat this army. There is too many of them. They have more weapons and hold the strategic places. There is nothing he can do. It's the same with us and sin. Sin is too powerful. And I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. John 8:34. Sin is destroying us, and there is nothing that we can do. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Romans 7:20. So we don't have a clue how to handle sin. Where will we get our answers? Jehoshaphat sought Yahweh. And his closing prayer was, "Our eyes are on you." Jehoshaphat has come to the place where he sees, where all he sees is Jehovah. As Christians, we need to seek Christ and come to that place ourselves. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Matthew 5:8. When your focus is on Christ, he will meet you and carry you. We have reached our next spiritual transition. Seeing Jesus first. Our spirit is focused on the Holy Spirit. All concerns and all questions are directed to him. All our answers come from Christ. Praying scripture and praising Yahweh's majesty has developed in us a relationship with Jesus that is open and honest. It is based on love and not fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. 1 John 4:18. Now that you are living through the Holy Spirit, your priorities have changed. Your mind is set on sticking to the script, and you desire to be friends with Jesus. It is not explainable. It is an experience. So it is nothing, it's no longer something in your head, but it's moved to your heart. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all his richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Colossians 3:15-17. We are leaving our childhood behind, where we believe that God has to take care of us. Once we thought everything was about us, we thought like a child. But when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. 1 Corinthians 13:11. So we are maturing into our teenage years, where we are learning to make friends with Jesus. We are learning our new trade, and we're learning to experience life with Christ. Prayer is now a deep conversation between best friends, you and Jesus. So stick to the script and get to know Jesus. Let us pray. Holy Father, thank you so much for this, helping us to understand our need for you. We thank you, Lord, for this allowing us the time to let you speak to us in the method and manner we can understand. And Father, we have, each of us, gone our own ways and tried to do things in our own power and insight. And we've sought everybody but you. So now we come back to you, Jesus, for direction and guidance. And we want to be friends with you. We want to do life with you and start working out our issues with you. We know that you have all answers, and we look to you, Lord, for the solutions ahead. So continue to help us repent and return to you in every way. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.